Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, so very happy and blessed to be here with you today in this glorious Easter season, in the month of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and on this Mother's Day weekend. And what a delightful time of the year this is as we see nature itself coming back to life, as the trees leaf out, the grass greens up, and blossoms spring forth in their rich, beautiful colors, giving us hope that in the end, life is victorious. Thanks so much for being with us today. Well, I'm so excited because Rhonda Branham will be joining us here in a few moments. It'll be good to hear her voice again. We're going to talk about how her family has been doing during this lockdown and about how they are keeping hope alive in these challenging times and how their faith is getting them through. But as always, before we get much further, let's pray together. Most Holy Mother of God, on behalf of all mothers, we turn to you. We thank the Lord whom you serve for the great gift of motherhood. Never has it been known that anyone who sought your intercession was left unaided by grace. Dear Mother, thank you for your yes to the invitation of the angel which brought heaven to earth and changed human history. You opened yourself to God's Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Dear Mother, intercede for all mothers. Ask your Divine Son to give them the grace of surrendered love so that they can join with you in giving their own fiat. May they find daily strength to say yes to the call to sacrificial love, the very heart of the vocation of motherhood. May their love and witness be a source of great inspiration for all of us called to follow your Son. On this Mother's Day weekend, O Mother of the Word Incarnate, pray for us who have recourse to you. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. This past Wednesday, the Supreme Court began hearing oral arguments by phone for a case that pits the Little Sisters of the Poor, nuns whose ministry includes caring for the elderly, against the state of Pennsylvania for their right to refuse to provide contraception and life-ending drugs and devices. Pennsylvania has sued the federal government for allowing a broad religious exemption to protect organizations like the Little Sisters, who cannot provide goods and services, namely abortion and contraception, because it would violate their consciences. The Attorney General for the state, Josh Shapiro, a Democrat, hopes to prevail in the lawsuit in order to restore the previous application of the HHS mandate that was created under Obamacare. In October of 2017, the Trump administration, with the Department of Health and Human Services, created an exemption so that the Little Sisters and other organizations would not have to violate their religious beliefs. Numerous groups and individuals have filed amicus curiae briefs in support of the sisters. Should the nuns not succeed in the case and refuse to comply with the decision, they would face millions of dollars in fines, forcing them into bankruptcy. An abortion pill reversal hotline is receiving a record number of calls during the COVID-19 crisis. Andrea Trudden, the communications director for Heartbeat International, which runs the Abortion Pill Rescue Network, told Live Action News that in the month of March, 105 mothers started the procedure to halt their chemical abortions after calling the helpline. More than 900 professional healthcare providers are available to assist women when they call, and the line is staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Trudden said that they were now seeing over 80% of their callers starting the reversal process. The reversal works by giving the mother supplemental shots of progesterone to block the abortion pill's deadly effects, but the mother must start the treatment as soon as possible after taking the first pill. And according to a recent article on Life News, even the abortion giant Planned Parenthood is struggling during the coronavirus crisis. Planned Parenthood's Greater New York affiliate has apparently laid off nearly one-third of its staff as patient visits dropped by more than one-half. The CEO of the New York Walmart affiliate Laura McQuaid said that in-person visits were down by about 70%, with donations falling as well. McQuaid also added that they remain optimistic and hope to bring back their furloughed staff sometime this summer. In April, the International Planned Parenthood Federation reported that over 5,600 clinics in 64 countries closed because of the virus, and of its 132 member associations, 23 reported reduced availability of abortions. And finally, here locally, 21 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, which unfortunately has not seen a reduction in the number of clients or abortions during the COVID-19 crisis. 7 women came from Kentucky, 2 from Illinois, and the remaining from various Hoosier counties. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners continue to be on hand every Thursday to offer hope, love, and help to the moms as they go in. Please continue to pray every day for a miracle, that the hearts and minds of those who work there will be converted, and that each woman who has chosen to abort her unborn child there will repent and seek the mercy and forgiveness that is available through Jesus Christ. And that's your weekly in the news. So it's been about 6 weeks or so since Rhonda and I were both here together during these Pro-Life to the Max shows. And I've been trying to hold down the fort in her absence for the past couple of shows, but honestly, it's just not been the same without her. That's why I'm so very grateful that she's able to join us today via the telephone. So without any further ado, let's bring Rhonda on. Hi, Rhonda.
Hello, Ave Maria to everyone.
Yeah, how are you doing?
We're doing well.
Okay, all right. So you got any kids in the background right now? Are they doing schoolwork?
You know what? We have finished up our schoolwork for the day, and they are outside enjoying the good weather.
Okay, all right. Well, if they run in and we hear them screaming, we'll just know that's home life. No big deal. That's really pro-life, though. Here, kids.
Yes.
The kids have been in the background. Yeah, okay.
That's right.
So now we've just been taking some precautions here, which is why you haven't been coming in to record. And because we've got this very small studio room, and it doesn't have very good ventilation. And so, of course, this is by necessity because we've got to have good sound quality. But
right.
It doesn't help when there's a virus going around, so that's for sure. So, and I'm not sure exactly when we'll be able to resume our normal process of being together again, but hopefully that will be soon. But Rhonda, let's talk about just quickly, Joe, your husband. He's a pharmacist, and so he's kind of more on that front line. So has he or your family had to do anything special or to take any extra safeguards during this time?
Yeah, now the pharmacy, they have restricted the patients that come for prescriptions to the drive-through only, which has actually helped. And then when Joe comes home every night, I make him shower and put clean clothes on before dinner. And then if I have to go out to the grocery, I do the same thing when I come home, just so that way if the virus is on us, you know, we are not bringing it into the house or, you know, our kids aren't having contact with it. But, I mean, that's basically, you know, what he is doing. Now, he has filled prescriptions for people with COVID-19.
Mm.
After his interaction with them, he will wash his hands thoroughly. So, I mean, we're all taking precautions, and it is kind of a scary time, but you know, viruses are a normal part of our everyday life, so.
So, yeah. And Rhonda, you probably heard this, but during his early morning mass, I think it was on April 16th, Pope Francis mentioned how he had been scolded, and he used that word scolded, by some people for forgetting to mention pharmacists when he had asked for prayers for all of the other healthcare professionals.
Yes.
So he prayed for them, and then he talked about how much work they do to help the sick. And we can easily forget about that, can't we, the vital role that pharmacists play.
Yeah, you know, even some of the politicians, we have heard them talking about all the healthcare workers, and then when they mention others, they mention, you know, pharmacists in the group with, like, grocery and stuff. And of course, they all have a very important roles, but yes, the pharmacists are on the front lines with healthcare workers because when the patients leave the doctor's offices, they go to the pharmacy.
That's right. They go straight there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're so grateful for the work that Joe and all the pharmacists are doing, especially at this time. And yeah, and we need to remember to keep them in our prayers, just as our Holy Father asked us to do. Yeah. Okay. So wow, a lot has transpired since we were last together here in the recording studio, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to remind listeners that our last show we recorded together, that Rhonda and I recorded together, was the March 27th program about at-home or self-managed abortions and how they were going to be pushed during this viral scare. And sure enough, we've seen abortion supporters demanding that lawmakers lift sanctions against obtaining the drugs used in these do-it-yourself abortions. And I know we also talked about how abortion numbers would increase because of the frenzy and the fear-driven reaction sparked by COVID-19, and that this would just incite women to do the most unnatural thing in the world, to kill their very own child. And you know what? We've seen this become a reality. Sidewalk advocates from all over the country, they're seeing full parking lots and record numbers of women coming into the abortion centers. And I think for the most part, we've seen the increase in numbers here in Bloomington too. So it has been heartbreaking. And Rhonda, you've been coming to the Bloomington Planned Parenthood on Thursday afternoons. So can you tell us what you've been doing there and what's some of your observations?
Well, I mean, I have to concur with the number of abortions. I mean, I think there's, you know, everyone is panicked. Everyone is living in fear. And I think the abortion industry is capitalizing on that. So, yeah, we are seeing a lot of cars down there. I know the first day that I went down there on a Thursday, they actually closed early, which I was very surprised.
I remember that day. I was too.
Yeah, just for that day. But then, of course, you know, this past week and yesterday, you know, it was very, very busy and people were still, you know, coming in the afternoon. But, you know, we're seeing a mix of the chemical abortions, and we're also seeing some others that are coming out that have been in there for a while. So we are suspecting, you know, the surgical. But, you know, I've been going down there with a sign that simply says, God loves you and your baby. And, you know, I no more than get my name out when I, you know, introduce myself to let them know that, you know, I'm over here to offer some help. I have gotten some very, very big reactions that have not been very positive towards that. I mean, three women in a row, you know, gave kind of an obscene gesture. And it's just, you can tell the spiritual battle down there is really intensifying. It's
yes.
Almost like you said last week, you know, the devil knows his time is running out, and he is just pulling out every trick in the book
yes.
to get people to fall into sin and to fall away from God. And you can really see it down there because we're on the front lines of this spiritual battle.
I agree, yeah.
And now yesterday, you know, it was raining and we were just kind of over on the sidelines and I was just offering help. Women were coming out with the bag and letting them know about the abortion reversal hotline. And a car had pulled up waiting for someone, you know, to pick someone up. And she laid on that horn for probably about 10 seconds. I was right there next to the car. It drew Ben out of the car. He came over, and even a clinician walked out of the back door of Planned Parenthood to look over to see what was going on.
And for our listeners, Ben is the security officer that Planned Parenthood hires to just
yeah.
kind of watch over things. That's who Ben is. Yeah. Wow. So it drew a clinic worker out.
Oh, yeah, it did. I mean, everybody in the parking lot, like, stopped what they were doing, and they looked over to see what was going on. And when Ben saw that it was someone in the car honking, he just kind of shook his head like, oh, great, here we go. So he told them that, you know, we have a right to be out there and that she cannot, you know, do that.
Well, good for him.
Disturbing everyone in the building.
Yeah, and I know, and I'm sure these women are so, they're like you said before, they are scared, okay?
Yeah.
It's almost like this demonic-driven panic,
yes.
too. It's so an unbelievable thing that's going on. And I'm sure, too, everybody is tired of the lockdown. Our lives have completely changed. So that added into the mix, it just makes for a bad scenario all the way around.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. So were you able to speak to that woman later on or anything?
Okay. Well, this is the funny thing. Okay. So the other woman that was in the car with her in the passenger side, probably 15, 20 minutes later, stepped out of her car and walked in my direction and said, you know, I'm not here to yell at you. She said, I just want to understand, you know, where you're coming from. And she was asking me what religion I was. And, you know, I said, you know, we're Christian. And she was just basically saying, are you against birth control? And I said, yes, and I explained why. And she said, wow, I didn't realize that. She actually, we had about a 10-minute conversation.
Good.
And I let her know what we were doing out there and that we were just offering help. And a lot of these women feel like they really have no choice. Mm-hmm. And we're letting them know that they, in fact, do. And she said, wow, she goes, I'm glad I asked you all these questions. Now, they didn't, you know, of course, blare the horn after that, although that could have been because, you know, Ben told her not to. But, I mean, the rest of the afternoon went fine. I was very glad. And I told her, I said, I'm glad you stepped out of the car to talk to me. I said, I enjoyed our conversation. And she said, I did too.
Yeah, good. Well, they get to see what we're really like, because in a lot of ways, what they hear that we're like is driven by the media, and they have all these misconceptions and these preconceived ideas. And when they actually talk to us face to face and they find out that it's love that is driving us, our concern for the women, and that the harm that all of this causes with the culture of death and even the contraception for women, when they hear our motive in our, actually, we are concerned for the health and well-being of women, that kind of shifts things around, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So have any other kind of responses going down there? Are you getting many women to come over? Because I know it's a really difficult time then with this fear. It kind of puts, hampers our efforts maybe a little bit in that maybe people might be afraid to come over. But do you find, are they coming over any then?
They're not. I haven't had anyone come over. You know, they will listen. I can tell they're listening, but you know, they're not coming over for information, and I've even noticed none of the men want to hear what I have to say. So I'm wondering if, you know, these women really aren't given a choice, because these men do not want to hear it. They roll up their windows, and you know, they're just sitting in their cars, you know, probably protecting themselves from having to go into that, you know, little waiting room with all those women.
That's exactly right. I know Planned Parenthood is asking any support people to stay outside so that they are limiting the number of women that do go in, at least. So, yes. And so as a result, we see a lot of the men and the support people just out there just waiting in their cars. And again, that can't be just real fun. And so they're aggravated, you know, because, you know, they even have to be here in the first place. So all of these emotions and these things that are their lives, you know, just out of whack now. And so that shows through with their reactions a lot of times.
Absolutely. Yes. But God's grace has a way of working through all that. So
absolutely,
we just have to trust that, you know, God is working.
Absolutely. That's
we just
so
need to be
key.
There.
That's exactly right. It doesn't matter whether we succeed or not. It just remain faithful, like I think St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say, right?
Yep, that's
right. Yeah, yeah. So, like I just mentioned, we've all faced some major changes in our lives with these stay-at-home orders, and especially with us as Catholics, we're not able to attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass nor receive the sacraments. So what kinds of things have your family been doing in order to stay strong and keep the faith at these times? And maybe what are some of your favorite devotions? And
well, fortunately, we have found a diocese that is offering the Sacrament of Reconciliation, so we are taking advantage of that. We have to drive about 45 minutes to an hour, but I mean, we're not going as often as we would like to go because it's a little bit further of a distance. But you know, I really feel that sanctifying grace is important, especially since I am going down to Planned Parenthood. It's like I need that fuel to help keep my candle lighting bright. You know, to get through all that darkness that's down there. But some of our favorite devotions as a family, we continue doing the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3:00, and then at night we enjoy the our family rosary, and then we do all of our nighttime prayers. We have been able to stream the Mass on Sundays with Father Develius, and then we will also watch like the Masses on EWTN. I know the Friars are also airing Mass every day at, I believe it's at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then EWTN also has live stream adoration. So they will have the monstrance on from 9 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. So I've actually been enjoying some holy hours mm-hmm. on my computer. And, you know, because I really miss going into the church,
yes,
you know, in front of the
yes,
Blessed Sacrament.
Of course.
I, you know, it's just, it's not the same, but mm-hmm. I mean, we know God knows our intentions and we really want to be with him. So, you know, mm-hmm. we're doing the best we can. And mm-hmm. and spiritual communion, I'll tell you, it, that's a great devotion for us mm-hmm. to really bring back, because I think a lot of us forget.
That's true. We've forgotten, you know,
we
kind of about that.
Communion at Mass and then mm-hmm. we don't, you know, that's the mm-hmm. end of it. But, mm-hmm. you know, we really, we could do that throughout the day, and it's, you know, we can stay close to Christ, you know, in the Blessed Sacrament just by making that spiritual communion. So,
yeah.
you know, we need to keep doing that.
Yes. So you've got some great things there keeping you guys nourished. And your children doing okay with all of that as well?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When this all first started, I heard one of them say, gosh, this is like taking a vacation from our lives. And I'm like, yeah, it is. It is. But, I mean, they are so ready to get back with their
yes,
friends, and
yeah.
you know, the boys have said they've missed serving Mass, serving at the Mass. So,
yeah.
I mean, we are very ready to get everything back to normal. I'm not sure that what normal is going to look like.
Right.
I'm thankful that there are a lot of governors that have basically stopped abortions in their state because, you know, they see that it's not, an essential service or an essential, procedure. I hope that continues. I mean, I don't want to get back to normal there, but every place else, I mean, with all of our masks and, you know, everybody, you know, standing away from each other, I mean, this is not what God wants. I hope that we can get back to, you know, loving each other. I hope that this also shows, you know, how fragile human life is and how important human life is.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe this will be a better world after this is all said and done, because we're going to have more respect for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that will extend to the unborn as well, and we can get past abortion altogether and end it.
Oh, and you just hope that's one of the fruits that would eventually come out of this, because you see
yes.
governors that are very pro-abortion, and yet you can see, honestly, in their words and their faces that they really do care about human life, because they
yeah.
want to do everything possible to save lives. And so we can only pray that that kind of clicks sometime and wakes them up now to
yes.
apply to the unborn as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so you have a sister, and I know we've talked about it on the show before. She's a religious sister with the Dominican Sisters of Hawthorne, Sister Maria Colby.
Yes.
And her congregation is heavily involved with the pro-life movement, although on the end-of-life issues. And in fact, they have homes that are dedicated to providing palliative care to souls, physically, but most importantly, spiritually, and those that are afflicted with incurable cancer and who can't afford to pay for any care. So that's a really beautiful apostolate. Now, is Sister Maria Colby, is she at the Mother House in Hawthorne, New York? Is that?
She is.
Well,
yes.
So Hawthorne, New York, then, is about 30 miles from New York City, and that's like the epicenter of the COVID-19,
yes.
both in the state and in the U.S. And so have you been able to communicate in any way with her?
Yes. We had a phone conversation with her about a month ago, and then she emailed me this week. Because I told her we were going to be talking about her this or today.
So her ears are burning.
So I wanted to make sure I was prepared.
Yes. So what does she say? Because this has really got to be a challenging time for them.
Well, it is. You know, they are still doing their everyday care, you know, for their patients. But it is a little different. My sister said that the sisters have to have their temperatures taken every day before they enter into the hospital. And if for any reason they're not feeling well, they need to let their mother superior know. Mm-hmm. So that way she can determine if, you know, the sister needs to stay, away from the hospital. And employees have to have their temperature taken every morning before they come into the hospital or, you know, when they enter. And they also have a series of questions to answer because they are out, you know, in the public. So if they've been exposed to anyone, you know, they need to probably, I don't know what all the questions are that they have to answer, but it's basically to protect the patients that are there. All the sisters have to wear masks, and none of the patients can really have visitors right now unless they are at the very end.
Okay.
And then they will allow family to come in, to be with their loved one before they pass. So, it is a little bit different, but they are still doing. And the patients, to interact with their families, they're allowing FaceTime. So it's a little bit different for them, but, they want to make sure that, their patients are well taken care of, they're being protected, but they're also still being able to spend time with their family, either, on the computer or, at the very end, that they will be able to be with them.
Yeah, so. They just have to work with what they have. I mean, that's just, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I know they have a lot of trust in Divine Providence, so.
They do, absolutely. I asked Sister Maria Colby, I said, what would you all say, with everything going on, what would you, what kind of advice? And she said, everything is in God's hands.
There you go. That's perfect.
We have to completely trust Him and, pray for His mercy upon our country and the whole world. And we must pray for the church, for Pope Francis and all of our shepherds. Because, if you think about it, our world revolves around the church. That's what God established in the world, to bring grace, to help with salvation. So everything revolves around that. So we need to keep praying for the church and, that the graces can continue in the world to help bring souls to God.
Some beautiful advice there, yeah. Okay, we're getting
towards the end.
Crunch time.
Okay.
You know that. Well, and it's Mother's Day weekend, and if you're listening to the show on Sunday, it's actually Mother's Day, so we want to wish all mothers out there a very happy and blessed Mother's Day. So, Rhonda, can you just sum up for us real quickly, being involved in the pro-life movement, has that increased your love and awe for the gift of motherhood?
Absolutely. Motherhood is truly a self-sacrifice for her children, just as our Lord sacrificed His life on the cross. And it's really the greatest possible love there that is here on the earth. And, when we reach out to these moms down at Planned Parenthood, we're asking them to sacrifice themselves for their unborn child. And that's a big thing to ask of them. But, there is no greater love than to lay down your life for another.
That's absolutely right. And I know, and they don't hear that message at all, do they?
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't.
I know.
Your life will be better without your unborn baby, and that is so far from the truth.
Yeah, that's all they're hearing.
Those little children, they help you to grow in virtue. They help you to grow closer to God. I mean, cuz you see God shining forth through your children.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're such a beautiful gift.
Yes, yeah, and that's a great message to be given to those women down there. Yeah. Well, Rhonda Branham, co-host for Pro Life to the Max, who's been on the other end of the interview today. Thank you so much for calling in and reconnecting with us. And please thank Joe and your children for allowing us to steal you away for a few minutes today. And also thank you, too, for all that you and your family are doing to help build up a culture of life and love right in your own backyard. And we look forward to having you back in the studio soon.
Yes. Well, thank you. And I want to wish all mothers happy Mother's Day. And we miss seeing everyone. So I hope we get past this all quickly, and that this virus will be put to an end, and we can, return to Mass and see all of our friends. So
amen.
Well, yes.
Well, thanks again. It's been such a joy having you back here. So, well, Our Lady told Saint Juan Diego, and she speaks these very same words to us. Do not be troubled or weighed down with grief. Do not fear any illness or vexation, anxiety or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the folds of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else that you need? Oh, how blessed we are to have such a beautiful, holy, and loving mother. She is ours. And what a comfort to know this, and what joy this brings us, especially during uncertain and formidable times. Let's cling to her always. Thanks so much for being with us. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.